Welcome to all those joining us for the shiur on the topic of Hiskashrus Letzadik Emes, attaching oneself to the true tzaddik. This is the second shiur in the series, and today's shiur is being given on a very special day, Lag BaOmer. There's a sefer, Taimei HaMenhagim, which is a well-known sefer in the religious world, which has hundreds, maybe even a thousand or more explanations regarding laws in the Shulchan Aruch and customs that we have, showing where they come from and telling many of the stories, the backgrounds of different things. And in this sefer, there's one of the largest sections is on Lag BaOmer. Beautiful things that are brought down there. One of the interesting points is we know that we Ashkenazim, we say Lo Omer, not Bo Omer. We say today is Hayoim Shloisha Ushloishim Yoim Shehem Arba Shavuos the Chamisha Yomim Lo Omer, Lo Omer. How is it that this day is called Lag BaOmer? And one of the Ramazim that's brought is that the words Lag BaOmer are Bigimatria Moshe, showing the deep connection between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a lot of discussion about this in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the commentaries of the Zohar HaKadosh, about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal being an extension, a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu, and showing certain areas where Hashem gave Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai the ability to accomplish certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted very much to achieve but couldn't, but in the form of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, they were accomplished. And there are hundreds of thousands of Jews around the world today that are aware of this special day. It's called Hilula. Hilula means wedding. And a wedding is a joining together of two, a joining together of a man and a woman. The Hilula of a tzaddik refers to the neshama of the tzaddik rising up and joining, connecting to its source in heaven. Rabbi Nizal in chapter 66 in Likud Imran points out that every tzaddik has a ruach down here on earth, a certain divine spirit down here on earth, and a divine spirit in heaven. And when it comes time for the tzaddik to leave the world, that ruach de leila comes down and joins together with the ruach down below. So that for a certain period of time, the tzaddik is double. And this is one of the reasons why the Gemara praises the privilege of being present at the time that a tzaddik passes away, because he has this double power at that time. And because this upper ruach cannot stay down here, it pulls up with it, it brings up with it the lower ruach, and this is one aspect of the tzaddik passing away. And this is one of the reasons why the Gemara says tzaddikim are greater during their passing than during their lifetime, because again, especially during the passing, there's that double. And after the tzaddik passes away, he goes to a much higher place. It's brought that tzaddikim, when they're physically living, have a certain degree of boundaries. The tzaddik is in a certain place. Whereas when a tzaddik passes away, it's brought that his neshama spreads and extends with no boundaries at all. So a person would say, that being the case, then there shouldn't be any reason why I have to go to the grave, to the kever of the tzaddik, if he's everywhere. The answer is, it's true, he is everywhere, and there is a connection that can be made. But naturally, not naturally, but it is known that a person who zeicha to go to the kever itself, that has major significance. We know this from the story in the Chumash about Kalev ben Yefune, one of the spies who risked his life to go to Hebron, to be mispalel there, at the gravesite of the Avos and Imohos, the forefathers and mothers, and many other sources. So today, Lag BaOmer, there are people all over the world that are remembering this great tzaddik, whose greatness comes from a variety of different places. Number one, his Rebbe. He was one of the five major students of Rebbe Akiva, where after Rebbe Akiva lost his 24,000 students, he didn't give up, he started again, and he taught five great rabbis. The two leading ones among the five, in certain respects, were Rebbe Meir, who took over the yeshiva after Rebbe Akiva passed away, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, about whom Rabbi Akiva said, "Your greatness only Hashem and I know." And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was the one who gathered a group of students, the greatest among the Tanoim, and was privileged to be able to teach them, to reveal to them secrets of Torah. Not only that, but for the first time in history, was privileged to be able to write it down. His student Rabbi Abba, who were together with his son Rabbi Elazar, these were the closest students. Rabbi Abba was the one who wrote the Zohar HaKadosh, and upon completion, some of it was written while Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was living, some of it was written after he passed away. And in the Zohar HaKadosh itself, it says that this Sefer is being hidden away, put away, until the time will come for its revelation, for it to be revealed. And it wasn't until many years later that one of the great tzaddikim discovered this, and they weren't sure whether this is authentic or not. Tzaddikim, who studied it carefully, came out with a 100% clear proclamation that it is authentic, the Zohar HaKadosh and all of its parts. The Raya Mehemna, the Safra Detznusa, the Sisrei Torah, different sections of the Zohar HaKadosh, and the Tikkuni Zohar, which was compiled especially during the years that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar spent in the cave, hiding from the Roman government, the 13 years, that all of this is 100% authentic, and some of the greatest tzaddikim, the Shiva HaKadosh, the Chidor, the Arizal, and other great tzaddikim all testified to the authenticity of the Zohar HaKadosh. And we find poskim in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mogen Avraham, the Mishneh Berurah, many commentaries that all of us are familiar with that are not Hasidim, people that are not Hasidim, people that are not Mikubalim, not Sfaradim, the Lithuanian world issue, all accept as the leading authorities in Torah, all quote the Zohar HaKadosh throughout the halachas, different areas of halacha, different areas of Torah. We are privileged to have been taught by rabbis who had the greatest respect for all facets of Torah, including especially the secrets of Torah, the highest portion of Torah, and were willing to share little bits of it. And we know that the Hasidim, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his followers, based a lot of their teachings on the foundations that were laid by the Zohar HaKadosh, the Tikkuni Zohar, the Arizal, etc. Zchusam Yogan Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael, the great merit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students and all of his followers should bring all the bracha and yeshua that Klal Yisrael needs all over the world today. Continuing from where we left off in the Sefer Hiskashrus Letzadik Emes, he writes that tshuva, the process of tshuva, a person who unfortunately spent part of their life not religious or not as religious as they would have wanted to be, and the person decides to make a new beginning in trying to turn around their life to become religious or to become more religious, the main tshuva for people who committed many sins is to do whatever they can to give a nachas ruach, to give satisfaction and pleasure to a tzaddik. We find the Arizal asks the question, the Arizal asks, when a person is leading a religious life, we know at that time it's not easy to face the challenges that a person has from the Yetzer Hara every day, battling different desires, different character traits, anger, arrogance, desire, excessive desire for food, for sleep, other things. Once a person has fallen, chas v'shalom, once a person has fallen into the hands of the enemy, they've been captured by the enemy, the Yetzer Hara, and the person is down, how in the world can the person get out of there? And the answer that that's given is based on a statement in the Zohar Chodosh, where it says that Rabbi Nosson said, "Balei tshuva nishmois hatzadikim misayaton." that regarding Balei Tshuva, they need and receive divine assistance from the souls of tzaddikim. Now, the Arizal tells us one of the ways that this happens is that a tzaddik in Gan Eden wants to do mitzvahs, he'd love to do mitzvahs, but he can't. There's a pasuk, b'meisim chofshi. Once a person passes away, they're free. They're free from mitzvahs. They don't have challenges. They don't have a yetzahara. At the same time, we have people down here on earth that are capable, they can do mitzvahs, and they have somewhat of a desire, but not enough. And the Arizal explains that the tzaddikim in Gan Eden are given permission sometimes to come back down to this world in the form of Gilgul, in the form of Ibur. Ibur means a temporary visit where the soul of the tzaddik enters into a person and gives the person that extra push, that extra energy, that extra desire that the person needs to complete the mitzvah. And in doing this, the tzaddik shares in the reward, in the success of that mitzvah that was accomplished. So the soul of the tzaddik goes back up to heaven and is able to go to a higher place than it was before because it participated in a mitzvah. And the person down here on earth, especially in the case of Balei Tshuva, where the person needs so much energy to be able to make that change, a person who is in a completely different place, they were not religious, they were not eating kosher, they were not keeping Shabbos, or different levels, and the person wants to make a major change, they were able to be given that divine assistance by the neshama, the tzaddik. That's one method. And another method is in the person's effort to come close to a tzaddik in this world, to search for and find a tzaddik and try to come close to that tzaddik, whereby when that happens, the tzaddik will use all of his abilities and his merits, number one, to be able to guide the person, to be able to infuse the person with love for Hashem, respect for Hashem, and to inspire the person to do mitzvahs. And in addition, the tzaddik has the authority to be able to remove obstacles from a person and to give the person, to assist the person in accomplishing what they need to accomplish. He quotes the Baal Shem Tov, who said, he quoted the Gemara in Psachim, page 112, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, if a person wants to hang himself, he should hang himself on a tall tree. This is a famous expression in the Gemara. And this expression, the Baal Shem Tov said, that here again, if a person wants to attach himself, they should attach themselves to a great tzaddik. A tzaddik is compared to a tree. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu was sending the Merag, first of all, human beings are compared to a tree. There's a pasuk, ki ha'odam eitz hasodeh, man is like a tree in the field. And we find also that when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies on the mission to check out Eretz Yisrael, he said to them, I want you to search and see hayesh bo eitz imayim. Is there a tree there or not? And Rashi HaKodesh explains, he was asking them, go see if there's a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael now, in whose merit, possibly, the people that are living there are protected. They're protected, and therefore, we won't be able to defeat them. So we see that the tzaddik is compared to this tree, this great tree. We find in the first story in Sipurei Maaseis, the story of the lost princess. Rabbeinu Zalveh speaks about the viceroy of the king searching for the lost princess, and he meets these giants who are carrying a tall tree. So here, Reb Shmuel Horowitz mentions quotes from the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov said that a person who wants to succeed in their Yiddishkeit should hang themselves on a tall tree, attach themselves to a great tzaddik. And then he quotes the Sefer Hamidos of Rabbeinu Zal, where Rabbeinu Zal says that Hashem forgives the sins of the Jewish people on behalf of the tzaddikim. And here, in Sefer Amidos, we find that one of the sources for this, We have a pasuk in Tehillim that we recite on Friday night, where we say there, Moshe v'Aharon b'choyanov, u'Shemuel b'koyrei Shemoi, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aharon in his position as Kohen Gadol, and Shmuel Anavi, who had both qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a prophet and also served in the Beis HaMikdash, Koirim El Hashem, they call out to Hashem, V'hu Ya'anim, and Hashem responds to their prayer. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Kel Noisei Hoyiso Lahem, you are a forgiving Hashem on their behalf. On their behalf, in their merit, you Hashem were willing to forgive the sins of the Jewish people. And here we emphasize, person would say, okay, so that applies to every Jew. That applies to all of Klal Yisrael. Is there a difference if I have a particular close relationship with a tzaddik or a less close relationship? And for this, many times we mentioned the story of the Meraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent these 12 commandos on a mission. And these were people who were chosen as the special people from each one of the 12 tribes who they felt were qualified to go on this mission. We find that 10 of them failed terribly, and the Jewish people suffered. They came back from their mission on Tisha B'Av, and because of that, the Jewish people suffered the destruction of the first and second Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, and many other calamities that took place on Tisha B'Av. World War I began on Tisha B'Av, whereas two of the 12 were successful. They didn't join in the mistakes of the Meraglim, and they received great blessing. The two were Yehoshua and Kalei ben Yefuna. And if we study to see what was the difference between these two, Yehoshua is described as the closest person to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Aharon HaKohen, his brother, was a giant, and possibly on a certain level of greatness, he might have been greater than Yehoshua, but Yehoshua was the one who served Moshe Rabbeinu day and night. The Torah says, Yehoshua ben Nun, na lo yomish mitoich oel. He never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. But did he go home? Did he go to his wife? He did, but it means he never stopped thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu. His whole life focused on what can I do to serve the tzaddik? How can I come close to the tzaddik? And it's for this reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for him. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to pray for him and say, Ko Yoshiacho Me'atzas Meraglim, may Hashem save you from falling into the wrong advice of the Meraglim, the spies. Kolev ben Yefuna was not Yehoshua. He was obviously a very great person. He didn't have that close relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu as Yehoshua did. So he risked his life to travel to Hebron at that time, the Gemara tells us, where the giants that were roaming in Israel, they were based in Hebron at the time, to get to the Me'oras HaMachpelah, to get to the gravesite of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, to be mispalel there, to ask Hashem to protect him and save him in the merit of those great tzaddikim and tzidkonius there. These two were saved. These two were spared. It's their closeness and connection to the tzaddik that clearly made a difference in terms of them being saved and them being listed as tzaddikim and successful and being given a special portion in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the other 10, despite their greatness, and the Zohar HaKadosh tells us they were great people, that the Torah defines them as great people, unfortunately, the test that they had was even greater, and they made terrible error. The term refuah, healing, we know there's refuah saguf, there's healing the body, and there's refuah sanefesh, there's the healing the soul of a person. The body has all kinds of ailments, all kinds of sicknesses and weaknesses, and the soul of a person could also be ill, chas v'shalom. And here the pasuk, ubechaburasoi nirpa lanu, a pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 53, with his attachment to us, through our attachment to the tzaddik, we were able to be healed, we were able to be cured. We find Rabbi Nazal in Sichei Saran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, paragraph 22, Rabbi Nazal says there that it's a tremendous benefit, a person who is zeichet to come close to a true tzaddik. And he says that in the future, there are psukim in the Torah that say that Hashem is going to shake the world like a person shakes out a blanket. V'yinaru rishoim imena. And the rishoim, the wicked people, will be shaken off. They'll be removed like dust or other things are removed from a blanket when you shake it off. And Rabbi Nazal said, but a person who is zeichet to grab onto, to attach themselves to a tzaddik, they obviously will not be able to be removed at that time. And Rabbi Nazal went on to tell a story describing the power of the tzaddik in the future world, about a person who came up to heaven and was naked, didn't have a mitzvah, didn't have the coverings that a person receives from the good deeds, from the mitzvahs, from the Torah that they study. And the decree was issued that this person should be sent to the kafakela. Kafakela means like a place where a person swings from one side to the other, chas v'shalom. However, this person must have done something to benefit a tzaddik, because Rabbi Nazal said that tzaddik came along and he threw clothing at this person. And there was an announcement in heaven, what right do you have? What right do you have to give him clothing? He's supposed to have his own clothing. And he said, what are you talking about? Just like on earth, when a king needs to send someone on a mission, he sends the person on an important mission, and the person has to be dressed in a respectable way. So the king sends him, and then he sees the person a while later, and he says, why didn't you go? I sent you. He said, because I don't really have the clothing that I need to present, to be presented in this respectable place that you're sending me. So the king says, why didn't you tell me? I'll give you. Here you go. Go a whole suit of clothing. He gives him what he needs to be able to go, because the king wants him to do a mission for him. And here the tzaddik said, I have the same right. The Gemara says, Man Malki Rabbonon. Who are the kings of the Jewish people? The tzaddikim. I have the right. If I want to send him on a mission, I want to send him to a certain place, and he needs to be dressed for the occasion, I have the right to give him the clothing that he needs to be able to go there. We find in Sefer Amidos, again, this is all coming from the Sefer Hiskashrus Letzadik Emes. He's quoting from a variety of different sources. In Sefer Amidos, in the paragraph of Tzadik, Rabbi Nazal says there that the Tzadik has the ability to elevate people that have passed away to a very high level, to a very high place. And here he quotes a story regarding the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov promised a certain individual person that he's going to do everything he can to help this person in the future world. The Baal Shem Tov's brother-in-law, Reb Gershon Mikitov, heard about this promise that the Baal Shem Tov had made to this person, and he decided he really wanted to be able to find out exactly what the Baal Shem Tov would do for this person. So he made an agreement with this person with a tkias kaf, a handshake. He had this person agree that when I get there, if I can, I'll come back and let you know exactly what took place. Sure enough, the person passed away, and afterwards he came to Reb Gershon and he told him that he was in a certain place in heaven, and the Baal Shem Tov came along and he said, Aroif, 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 go up, go up, go up. And they elevated his soul higher and higher. Each time the Baal Shem Tov said this, he was able to be elevated to higher and higher levels. The Baal Shem Tov found out that this person who had passed away had revealed this information to Reb Gershon, and the Baal Shem Tov got upset, because very often a tzaddik does something for a person and he doesn't want it necessarily to be publicized. So the Baal Shem Tov said, Arop, 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 go down, go down, go down. And sure enough, the person was taken down, level and another level and another level. And this person came to Rabbi Gershon crying and pleading with him, please beg the Baal Shem Tov on my behalf, because we made this agreement and I thought I was allowed to do this. And he said, sure enough, the Baal Shem Tov heard this. And the Baal Shem Tov again said, Aroif, Aroif, Aroif. And he was able to get the person back up high to the original very high place that he succeeded in getting him. Now we know we find a story in the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about a rabbi who at one point was on a very high level. He was one of the rabbis of Rebbe Meir. His name was Rebbe Elisha ben Avuya. And the Gemara in Chagiga tells us quite a bit about this rabbi. And there's a Tosfos there where the Tosfos gives a whole description as to the bris of this rabbi. What took place, a fantastic story that took place at the bris mila of this Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, about his father, different things. And then the Gemara says at one point in his life, this rabbi joined another three rabbis in going up to a very, very high place in heaven. And they saw certain things there, and each one of the four was affected in a different way. And the Gemara says, Acher saw things that confused him. It made him think as if there were two, as if there were two kings in heaven, Chas v'Shalom. And he lost his faith. And the other two, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, the Gemara says that one of them, his soul left him. It couldn't handle the light. He passed away. And the other one, even though he came back down, but he couldn't, his mind was affected, where when he would speak, people couldn't understand anything that he said. He was speaking on such a high level that nobody could make any sense of what he was saying. And the Gemara says it was only Rabbi Akiva who was nichnas v'yotza b'sholoim. He entered and left in peace. No harm, no side effects. He only benefited from this experience. So the Gemara tells us that this Acher, the Gemara says that they saw him carrying books of philosophy and singing Greek songs. And the Gemara says he committed all kinds of terrible sins. And sure enough, the Gemara says when he passed away, there was a big, big problem, a big question in heaven, what to do with him. Because the earlier part of his life, he had spent studying Torah, teaching Torah, being a giant. However, later he fell in a very, very big way. So the Gemara says they couldn't put him into Gan Eden. They couldn't put him into Gehenna. So he went nowhere. And the Gemara says his student, Rabbi Meir, found out about this, became aware of this. And he said, I'm not going to allow this. And he said, you're going to see when I pass away, you're going to see smoke will come from the grave of my Rebbe, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. And from that time, when he lost his faith, the Gemara says they no longer referred to him by his name. They called him Acher. Acher means the outsider, the other one. They wouldn't mention his name anymore. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir again heard about, he said, when I pass away, you're going to see smoke will start coming from Acher's grave, and that'll be an indication that I succeeded in getting him into Gehenna. I was successful in having his soul placed in Gehenna, where he'll be punished, but he'll be able to be cured. And sure enough, the Gemara says that's what happened. The Gemara says later, Rabbi Yochanan became aware of this, and he said, one of our group, Echod Mechavarana, one of our group, and we're going to allow this? That people see smoke coming from his grave, he's in Gehenna? No. When I pass away, the smoke is going to stop, and it's going to be an indication that I succeeded in taking him out of Gehenna and bringing him into Gan Eden. The Gemara says, sure enough, when Rabbi Yochanan passed away and they eulogized him, they said that the guards at the entrance to Gehenna knew to step aside. When Rabbi Yochanan came and said, he's with us, he's with me, they knew not to argue, not to put up any kind of resistance, that a tzaddik has that kind of authority even after a person passes away. Usually we say once a person leaves this world, there's no tshuva, there's nothing you can do to change your status. But a tzaddik has the ability to interfere, and note what he said, echot mechavarana, one of our guys. He was part of our chabura. The fact that he was part of our group, we are able to intercede on his behalf. Rabbi Nezal says also in Sefer Amidos, a tzaddik with his words can decide whether a person goes to Gan Eden or to Gehenim. This is found in Sefer Amidos in paragraph 54. And for this, the source that's brought for this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelik, where the Gemara says there that there are certain people who cannot enter into Gan Eden. And the Gemara mentions certain kings, and the Gemara says that the rabbis got together and they wanted to add another person to the list. They wanted to add Shlomo HaMelech to the list because of certain things, because he married, he had 1,000 wives, other issues. And the Gemara says there, the Gemara describes the whole story that they were sitting, there was a session, and the Gemara says that, but Hashem said, but what about his father, David HaMelech, the merit of his father, David HaMelech? And the Gemara says, Hashem said, what about the fact that when it came to building my home, the Beis HaMikdash, he did it in 7 years. He put tremendous speed into it. When it came to his own home, it took 13 years. The Gemara shows a whole negotiation there between Hashem and the Anshei Knesset HaGdola trying to define. And the Gemara says a fire came and singed the floor near them, and they ignored it. They said, not interested. We will decide. And again, this is brought as a proof that tzaddikim have the authority, the actual authority, to decide whether a person goes to Gan Eden or Chas V'Shalom, the opposite. Another statement, again coming from Sefer Amidos, that by going to see one's rabbi, that alone can serve as a protection for a person that they should not have to Chas V'Shalom see Gehenim, Chas V'Shalom. The Gemara says in Chagiga that one of the great rabbis there, Rabbi Yaakov Ish Kfar Chitaya, used to visit his Rebbe every single day. And then the Gemara says a whole story, and the Gemara says there's a pasuk where it says, V'yichi oid lo netzach, lo yira hashochas, a person will live eternally, they will never see Gehenim, ki yira chachomem yomusu, if they're privileged to see a tzaddik when he passes away. And the Gemara says there, imagine if that's what the benefit a person gets when they see a tzaddik passing away, how much more so a person who made it his business to visit a tzaddik during his lifetime, for sure that will also serve as a tremendous protection that the person will not see Gehenim. We find in Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nezal writes in chapter 78 in the second half of Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nezal writes that a person has to pray very, very hard to plead with Hashem to be zeche to come close to a true tzaddik, and fortunate is the person who is zeche to come close to the tzaddik during his lifetime. Because afterwards, after the person passes away, it's much more difficult to make that connection. And so too we find that in terms of a person being able to overcome the desires and the temptations of this world, especially the most difficult ones, the tests, the challenges that people have regarding men and women, one of the most important things that can help the person is closeness to the tzaddik. We have the pasuk in Shmuel Anavi, where the pasuk says, Nifla'aso ahavos choli me'ahavas noshim. Though this was referring to the relationship between David HaMelech and Yohanan. And he said, the love that I feel towards you is greater than the love that one feels towards women. And Rabbi Nezal brings this pasuk as a source to show that the more a person is zeche to direct their love to tzaddikim, the more that gives the person the self-control to have the right type of love in terms of women, to not have any excessive or out-of-bounds type of love, any misplaced type of love, chas v'shalom. And in addition, Rabbi Nezal writes that in order for a person to be zeche to humility, which is one of the most important things that a person has to strive for, the connection, the closeness to the tzaddik is what helps a person achieve that. We find in one of the stories in Sipurei Maaseiot, the story of the prince and the pauper, the two sons, the interchanged sons. Towards the end of the story, it speaks about a certain keli, a certain vessel, which this vessel, when it's put on anything, it starts singing a beautiful song, an incredible, beautiful song. And in the story, we find there that a person wanted to test this. So he took this keli and he put it on a behema. He put it on a simple animal, a cow. And sure enough, he saw that it worked, that this animal was able to sing this beautiful song. And the commentaries in explaining this, we know that the Torah describes a person, we, us, living in this world, that a person can conduct themselves like a human being, or a person can behave like a behema. A behema means a much lower level of intellect, a person who acts without using their intelligence, in an unintelligent kind of manner. And a person who allows themselves to be controlled by the temptations and the desires of this world, or anger, losing their temper, all of these kind of things, arrogance, all of that is referred to as behemius. And however, there is a keli, which is the teachings of the tzaddik, which when this is put even on a behema, the behema suddenly starts singing a different song. The incredible pleasure that when a person is zocheh to come close to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik gives the person the ability to taste the sweetness of the Torah, the sweetness of mitzvahs, the sweetness of emunah, the sweetness of Shabbos and Yontif, all the other false pleasures of this world fall by the wayside as nonsense. The person loses that aspect of behema, and they get to a completely different place. Now, to address the question that was raised before, exactly how do we define coming close to a tzaddik? And he mentions here that there are several aspects to this. One is learning the svarim of the tzaddik, reading the books of the tzaddik, which are full of advice, holiness, and defining different levels of closeness to Hashem, different levels of closeness to the Torah, by which a person can become purified from sins, from all kinds of negative character traits, and be able to serve Hashem on a very high level. That's one aspect of it. And a second aspect of it is by coming close to people who are already close to and attached to the tzaddik. These are two of the very important ways. We find Rabbeinu Zal writes in a chapter on Likutei Moran that the tzaddik is referred to as chosam. Chosam means a seal. And just like a seal, those people that are used to using a seal, in the olden days the kings used to have rings, which they would stamp something with their ring and that placed the seal. If you look at the seal itself, it's hard to read what's on it because it's upside down, it's backwards. It's only when the seal is placed on something, that's when you see its actual format. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter on Likutei Moran that the tzaddik himself, for ordinary people, it's hard to understand the tzaddik very often, and it's hard to connect directly. It's through the people that are close to him, that a person has a much better chance sometimes of being able to understand the tzaddik and be able to come close to the tzaddik. We find this in several cases. We find by Rabbeinu Zal especially that Rabbeinu Zal presented us with Svarim, the Likutei Moran, the Sipurei Maaseiot, the Sefer Hamidos, and these svarim, in recent years, have become more accepted in the world, that there are people who learn Likutei Moran, that just like they learn other Sifrei Chassidus. However, it's very, very well known among Breslovers that for a person to be a true follower of Rabbeinu Zal, to really be able to understand properly what Rabbeinu Zal wants, what his expectations are, what the Likutei Moran is really teaching us. And the other Sfarim, it's only through the Sfarim of Rav Nosson Zal, the Likutei Halachos, the Kitzur Likutei Moran, the Likutei Eitzos, all the Sfarim, the Likutei Tfilos, the Sfarim that we have from him, that give us a much, much clearer understanding and appreciation for Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, which a person can never be able to get without that connection to Rav Nosson Zal. And now Reb Shmuel Horowitz writes that more than all of this is the concept of a person wanting to be close, not just in reading the Sfarim, but to be completely connected. There's an expression in Yiddish, eingebacken in Herzen, deeply embedded in someone's heart, that I want to be so close to this person that they don't forget me ever. They never forget about me. I'm so, so well connected. Rabbeinu Zal said to his students, to Rav Nosson Zal, that there are three categories of people that come to me. There are people that come for kugel. Kugel is a physical item, meaning they're coming for physical rewards. They're coming to get a bracha for parnasa, for health, different things like that. They're coming for benefits, materialistic benefits. There are people that come to me because they want to hear my Torah. They want to hear Torah. They enjoy hearing Divrei Torah, especially on a high level. And then there are people who want to be eingebacken in Herzen. They want to be deeply, deeply baked into my heart. And Rabbeinu Zal said to Rav Nosson Zal and Rav Naftali Zal, I would like you to be from that third category, to be from the ones that are deeply embedded. And this tells us that there are levels and levels. No two people are alike, and especially regarding these categories, that a person has bechira, a person has the ability to choose what level of commitment, how much a person is committed. A person who learns takes a sefer, I look in this, sometimes I look in this sefer, sometimes I look in that sefer, sometimes this talks to me, sometimes that talks to me, that kind of thing. There's a term, klal chassidi, general chassid. I'm not committed to any one specific rabbi. I like to draw from everyone. And people say that sometimes with pride, that some people are limited. They're only drawing from one rabbi, but I'm not limited at all. I receive from multiple rabbis. So obviously I'm getting much more. And the response to that is, we know Rabbeinu Zal wanted us to learn the Sfarim of other rabbis also, for sure. All the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, to learn all of their Sfarim, to be familiar with them, etc. However, there's a rule in the Gemara where the Gemara says, Kedera deshutfi, a pot that's cooking on the stove, and there are two people that are responsible to watch it, to be able to know when the thing is fully cooked. If two people are responsible, the food there will neither be cooked, what will neither be hot nor cold. Because the Gemara says the nature of people is that if I know that somebody else is also responsible, then I'm not fully responsible, then I'm not fully obligated. Probably the other person is watching. Probably they'll take care. And that's where a person could lose out in a very big way. That if a person, there's a concept of shtibel hopping, going to different shuls. Sometimes I daven in this shul, sometimes in that shul. I go here, I go there. And again, I'd like to hear what this rabbi says. I like to hear what that rabbi has to say. Nice. However, neither one of those rabbis necessarily has to feel committed and obligated to the student. Just like in the example we gave with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Meraglim. Person would say, I don't understand. If you tell me daven for 1,000 people, well, it's a long time. I got to go through a list of that. But 12 guys, Moshe Rabbeinu, why couldn't he just daven for all 12 of them? The answer is he could, and he probably did, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same at all. Because of the level of commitment that Yehoshua had made to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah for him was completely different than others, where it wasn't the same level of commitment. And so too Kalev ben Yefuneh, who made that effort to travel and to put his life in danger to go to Hebron at that time because he understood the incredible importance of Kivrei Tzadikim, also something completely different than others who didn't do that, who weren't willing to go that far. And here he brings examples that we see from Sipurei Maaseiyos in the story, the second story in Sipurei Maaseiyos about the king and the emperor. It's a long, complicated story, but he points out that at the end of the story, we see that the princess gave each one a different package. One of them, she gave him back his maidservants, and so that he can go back to being a king. To the son of the merchant, she gave him back a boat with much more money than he had originally. But to the true prince, she said, "You, let's go together. Let's leave together. You know, that we are going to be the special couple." And so too regarding the story of the Berger and the Oni. I don't remember which number story it is. Berger means a very wealthy merchant. The wealthy merchant and the pauper. Where there, part of the story involves a young woman who's very special, and they're trying to offer all kinds of suitors for her. And people come along, and each one of them is able to sing in a very special way to be able to show, and in the song, put in poetry, like to be able to show that how special they are and how they're the best ones suited to be the match for this young woman. And each time she says to them, "However, you haven't been through the seven waters. You haven't gone through the seven waters," implying that the one that was her true suitor was one who had gone through tests, one test and another test and another test, and each time showed his loyalty, his incredible pure loyalty. That was the one who was most suited to be the true final mate for her. And again, this refers to the tests. We know the Gemara says that there are certain things that are very special that a person cannot achieve without difficulties. The Gemara speaks about Eretz Yisrael, acquiring Eretz Yisrael, acquiring a true acquisition of Torah and a true acquisition of Olam Haba. The Gemara says these things come through Yisurin. A person has to expect obstacles, tests, difficulties, and if the person is zoche to persist, not to give up, not to quit, that person is zoche to achieve the true success. And we know when we speak about Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk says tzadikim yirshu eretz. Tzadikim are the ones who really inherit Eretz Yisrael. They are like Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal writes in the Likutei Moharan that the gravesite of a tzaddik, because based on this pasuk, tzadikim yirshu eretz, that the place of the tzaddik is like Eretz Yisrael. And in this sense, just like Eretz Yisrael doesn't come easy, so too a person needs to know that coming close to a tzaddik, there could be obstacles, difficulties, opposition. That's normal. That's normal. But if a person is zoche to be able to stand up to those tests and challenges and obstacles, and the person is zoche to get close, then the benefits exceed just about anything else that a person can possibly do. We should be zoche on this special day of Lag BaOmer, when all of Klal Yisrael is aware that there was a tzaddik, there was an incredible tzaddik, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who saved the world when it seemed that the world was in total darkness. 24,000 rabbis had passed away, and Rabbi Akiva also left the world. He was one of the 10 rabbis who was tortured to death by the Romans, and a person would say everything is lost. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who said that the Torah will never be forgotten from our people. There will never be a complete darkness, because the word Zohar means light, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that this Zohar that I have been privileged to write, to reveal, this light is going to sustain the Jewish people until Mashiach comes. And we see now in recent times, in the past 50 years, 100 years, The Zohar HaKodesh is becoming more and more popular. Commentaries that have been written, the Musik Midvash, other commentaries, you just about can't go to a shul these days that doesn't have a set of Zohar HaKodesh. And it wasn't like this 50 years ago at all, at all. And not only that, but even in Jewish homes, there's so much being done to promote this, to make this available. We should be Zohar. We should be Zohar through Rabbeinu Zal, through the Baal Shem Tov, through the Arizal, through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, through Moshe Rabbeinu, through all of these tzaddikim, to make the best connection that we can. The Baal Shem Tov says, Zeh Hashar Lashem. This is the entranceway to Hashem. What is the entranceway to Hashem? Tzaddikim. That's the entranceway. Through them, Yavo Yuvoi, through them we'll be able to come close to Hashem. We should be zeich in their merit by studying their Sforim, by coming close to their students, to get to see the complete and final Geula with the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash ben Her Bi'Ameinu, Amen V'Amen. Any questions, please?
Reb Nosson, after Moshiach comes, will everybody have their own kesher to a tzaddik?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Moshiach will be the ultimate tzaddik. He will be the ultimate tzaddik who will be able to complete what all the other tzaddikim haven't completed. And all the other tzaddikim, depending on their relationship with Moshiach, there'll be a connection. The Zohar HaKadosh refers to the letter Aleph, the way the letter Aleph appears in the Sefer Torah, like a Yud on top and an upside down Yud on bottom and a diagonal line. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this represents, that line in the middle represents Moshe Rabbeinu, and the part on top and on bottom represent the two Moshiachs, Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David, that these are going to come together. There's going to be an incredible completion and wholesomeness that Moshiach's coming is going to bring about. And all of the true tzaddikim will have their portion in this. And those who are zecher to be attached to the true tzaddikim will be zecher to be part of it.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Tzaddikim can elevate the soul of the niftar, but it's not us in this world that we need to do more mitzvot, lizchut, all the niftar, to elevate him. I mean, shall I just to be like lismoch al tzaddikim, that they're going to do the job for me, or I still have to do that? You know, for example, my husband passed away a few months ago, and we're trying to do a lot for zilui neshama. So I know I have to continue, but how is it be?
Very good, important question. The answer is both. The answer is, and this is something we find in the Sforim, especially in Rabbi Nachman's Sforim. Rabbi Nachman doesn't say, I'm doing everything, just watch me. Rabbi Nachman shows us how to become tzaddikim. He shows us and talks to us, showing each one of us how we could get to the highest level tzaddik that we can possibly get to. One of the important aspects of it is by being close to him. But definitely, every single thing we do is extremely important. Just like by Hashem, it says, Uberachticho b'chol asher taseh. Hashem says, I will bless you. I will bless whatever effort you make. Whatever you do, I'll put a blessing into it. But Hashem wants us to make an effort. So too the tzaddik. The tzaddikim, the Gemara says, tzaddikim emulate Hashem. And therefore, again, they expect us to do what we can, but to realize our place, that what we can is a small percentage of what needs to be done. And here's where we turn to the tzaddikim and we plead with them that they should do their part. They should do the major part involved in helping us and in helping the souls of our loss of our dear ones. Best wishes for a wonderful week, and we should be zeichet to see the great brachas of the tzaddikim, especially Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on this special day.
Amen. Shroyek.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Amen.